Introductory shirim and the first of our actual shirim on the Zmiras of Shabbos. It's the last of the introductory shirim, as you'll understand, because we're still very much talking about what it means to sing on Shabbos and what happens on Shabbos when a Jew sings. A little bit, what we felt. A little bit, what we felt over Shabbos in the Old Sea. Weekend. But at the same time, we're actually beginning to study the Zmiras of Shabbos. Because before we get to the Zmiras, we say at the Suda, we have a far ways to go. I know you guys are excited to get there, but we have a long ways to go. And it could be that the first Zemer of Shabbos is really the Zemer of Shir HaShirim. Custom of many great tzaddikim that after they go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos, before Kabbal Shabbos even. So Jews on Erev Shabbos say Shir HaShirim. I'm going to read for you just a moment ago. I was giving a shir on some of the thoughts of Rav Soloveitchik. Quoted from the Sefer Ubakashta Misham, which was translated as "And from there you shall seek." Rav Soloveitchik considered to be his magnum opus, his greatest work. So I just want to read for you. I didn't give it to you on the sheets, but if anybody wants it afterwards, I'm happy to make a photocopy. It'll take maybe a few minutes to read it. To understand, to get into that mind of the tzaddikim and what they're feeling and what they're thinking, and what we should be thinking on Erev Shabbos as the sun is beginning to set and we're starting to bridge the gap between the world of the 6 days and the world of Shabbos. And so he begins his Sefer, chapter 1. As the setting sun of the Sabbath eve ignites the western horizon, and the Sabbath queen, delicate, pleasing, and graceful as a bride, emerges from the rosy blaze of sunset, and the strains of the Song of Song course into the world, becoming pure and sanctified, wrapped in the serenity of calmness and rest. The Shulamis, blackened by the sun, yearning for her heart's chosen one, her lover who pastures his flock among the lilies, has sworn eternal love to his pure dove. The lover longs for his faithful bride, his soul thirsts for her. The most beautiful of women wanders about within the city walls in the pale moon-enchanted nights. Early in the dewy, sun-drenched morning, she goes out into the orchards. She is looking for her beloved of her soul, who is standing amongst the shadows, watching from the byways, peering through the cracks. Lovesick, she searches for her partner. She searches for him, but she cannot find him. Has her lover left her and forgotten her for eternity? Has he forgotten the affection of their wedding day and departed from her forever? The lad with beautiful eyes skips along the hills towards his dear bride. He pursues the Shulamis, who hides in rock crannies and behind cliffs. He's attracted by her grace, her image continually before his eyes. He is full of longing, aflame with yearning. With quick steps, he approaches his partner, but he does not meet her. The hour of their meeting has arrived. At this very moment, the lad retreats and hides amongst the rocks. "You are beautiful, my beloved. Your eyes are doves," he sings. Hidden amongst the ancient, glorious hills, he sees her but cannot be seen. He is very, very close to her, but also immeasurably distant. "And you, my beloved, are handsome and pleasing," she replies, from among the tender river shoots. Trembling, she rushes out to greet her lover. Her heart pounds. Will he appear from the quiet? Will he alight before her in the orchard lanes? She hears the rustle of footsteps on the hills and the valleys among the tender river shoots and in the garden paths, where the almonds and pomegranate trees blossom. She bestirs herself and goes out to greet him. Suddenly, the echo melts away and disappears in the sun-drenched distance. He will love her forever. He will always remember the grace of her youth. Just as the bridegroom delights in his bride, so will he delight in her. He has not sent his partner away, nor has he handed her a bill of divorce. Yet in spite of this, their love cannot be realized. Their yearning cannot be fulfilled completely. But why? Why must he flee from her at the moment that she pursues him? Why does he not look at her and see that she is mad with longing and yearning? Why does he not say to her, "Lift your eyes and see that I have fulfilled my vow and arrived"? The Sefer Ubikashta Misham from Soloveitchik. Soloveitchik, in the first chapter, describes the longing of the bride for her husband and the husband for his bride, but somehow they can't meet. He goes on to explain that the whole world is asking, what is the nature of this strange love which can't find its proper place? So when we think about Shir HaShirim, when I think about Shir HaShirim, which according to the Medrash, you know, Shlomo HaMelech was described as writing three Megillos. He wrote when he was a young man, thinking about marriage, he wrote the book Shir HaShirim, that was his first book. And the Medrash says when he got a little older, he wrote Mishlei and then Koheles when he was even older. But I always think, when I'm thinking about Shir HaShirim, that it would be appropriate, although ever so slightly inappropriate, to put the words of the famous author Shai Agnon into the mouth of Shlomo HaMelech. Shai Agnon said, "I was 5 years old when I wrote my first song. It was out of longing for my father that I wrote it." And Shlomo HaMelech wrote three songs. He wrote Shir HaShirim, he wrote Mishlei, and he wrote Koheles. Each of them a song in a different way. And it was out of deep, deep longing that Shlomo HaMelech wrote his first song. So there's a question that I'd like to ask, and we'll try to understand it together, and through that we'll try to understand the mystery of singing on Shabbos as we enter into this world of Shir HaShirim, and hopefully we'll have a few shiurim on Shir HaShirim before we venture forward into Kabbalah Shabbos, and then ultimately Lechadodi, and we'll get to the Seudos of Shabbos. Mishnah says in Maseches Yadayim, discussing a very technical and somewhat cumbersome halacha of what happens if a person touches a megillah, touches a, not in the sense of the five megillos, but touches the cloth of one of the books of Tanakh. The Mefarshim explained that in the times of Chazal, they used to keep the Svarim of the Tanakh in the Aron Kodesh, and they would also sometimes keep holy food there. They would keep Truma or Meiser that was made out of grain, and what would happen from time to time is that animals would come seeking to eat the grain, and would be Metame the cloth, or at least this was the whole reason for this edict, that someone who touched certain cloth, it would make their hands tummy. Gemara also discusses that there were certain books of the 24 books of Tanakh which didn't make it into those 24. That also factors into the discussion exactly how when a person touches certain types of cloth, it's matami adayim or not. So the Mishnah says in the third parak of Maseches Yadayim, Mishnah Hey, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, Mekabel ani mipi shivim ushnayim zakenim. V'yom shoshiva es Rabbi Elazar ben Azai v'yeshiva. On the day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azai became the Rosh Yeshiva, when Rabbi Gamliel was taken down. So I received a tradition from 72 elders that on the day that Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah became the Rosh Yeshiva, Shashir Ashirim v'koheles metame esayadayim. I received that on that day, they voted on the matter and found that Shir Hashirim and Koheles are metame esayadayim. In other words, they are considered part of the books of Tanakh, because they're kept in the Aron Kodesh. That's why they're metame esayadayim. They voted on it and they found that Shir Hashirim, in other words, as the beginning of this Mishnah, which I didn't put on this sheet, mentions, there are those who believe that Shir Hashirim was not supposed to be a book of Tanakh. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Chas V'Shalom. Chas V'Shalom, to say that they voted on it and that's when it became a book of Tanakh. Lo Nechlak Adam Yisrael al Shir Hashirim. There's not a single human being who walked the face of the earth who ever doubted that Shir Hashirim Shalot Titame Esayadayim. No one ever said that Shir Hashirim should not be Matame Esayadayim. She'ein Kol Olam Kulo Kedai Kiyom Shenitein Bo Shir Hashirim L'Yisrael. Because there is no day, there was no day since the beginning of creation until the day that Shir Hashirim was written by Shlomo HaMelech and was given to the Jewish people. There was no day which was Kedai. There was no day which was worthwhile like the day that Shir Hashirim was given to the Jewish people. Shekol HaKesuvim Kodesh, because all of the books of Tanakh are holy, but Shir Hashirim is Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shir Hashirim is Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's the Holy of Holies. And what I want to try to explore together, also with an eye towards trying to understand Zemiras Shabbos in general, what did Rabbi Akiva mean when he said that all of the books of Tanakh are holy, but Shir Hashirim is Kodesh Kedashim? One of the challenges of being a human being in the world, one of the challenges of being a creature in Hashem's creation, which we've been talking about, we've been dancing around this in the past few weeks, is the challenge of taking the most exalted gift that Hashem gave us, speech, and using it in a sincere way, as we've been talking about, that Shira is when the heart is just exploding with emotion and it comes out through the mouth. But as Rabbi Nachman wrote in the Sefer Hamidos, in such a, I chose this because of my fondness for Rabbi Nachman and also because of the shortness with which Rabbi Nachman says it, so we don't have to go into a whole arichos. Rabbi Nachman wrote in the Sefer Amidos, under the title of Emuna. The Sefer Amidos is also called the Sefer Aleph Beis of Rabbi Nachman. Short teachings of Rabbi Nachman according to the letters of the Aleph Beis. Aleph is Emuna. It goes through all the different... So under Os Nun Zayin, in the chapter, the title heading Emuna, Rabbi Nachman writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sone Lezeh HaIsh HaMedaber Echad B'Peh V'Echad B'Lev. The most hated thing by Hashem, the most painful thing for Hashem is a person who is Echad B'Lev V'Echad B'Peh, Echad B'Peh V'Echad B'Lev, whose heart and mouth do not match up to each other. That what he speaks, that when he's singing the Zmiros of the 6 days of the week, and he's trying to daven a little, and he's trying to say a nice word to another person, his mouth is going through the motions, but he's echad b'lev and echad b'peh. His heart is not there, his mouth might be there, but his heart is not there. And all of what the Svarim describe is galus hadibur, this exile of speech, which is our inability to express properly that which is in our heart. And that which leaves our mouths while we're davening, the requests that we make, and the feelings of love that we offer to other people who we know that we care about, but somehow when we open our mouths to say it, it doesn't... When we're not with them and we think what we should have said and what we could have said to our parents or to our siblings, ultimately to our spouses, to our children. So we wanted to say something, but Echad b'peh v'echad b'lev. Sometimes we'll even say, you know, I love you, but it's hard to get there. That's called galus hadibur. course, we're able to speak, but it's not coming from the makor hadibur. It's not coming from the heart. And perhaps the greatest expression of that, the greatest expression of that galus, is our inability to put into words properly, to put into words our love for the master of the world. Said David HaMelech in Tehillim in source number 2, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. The Eretz Tzia, like a person who's wandering in a desert, and he's famished and thirsty and parched without water. Kain bakodesh chazisicha liros uzcha chvodecha. That yearning of the person who just wants a little bit of water, wandering in the desert, is the soul's yearning. Tzama lecha nafshi, kama lecha besari. It says Rashi, listen to this. Rashi says, kama lecha besari, my soul is yearning for you. Rashi writes, kama lashon taiva. Kama, which means to expire with yearning, is a lashon of taiva, of desire, of deep, deep, deep desire. Ve'ein lo dimyon. Pashtus, Rashi is saying, and there's no, this word kama does not appear anywhere else in Tanakh. It's a unique word, kama. It's a type of yearning which is, it doesn't appear anywhere in Tanakh, this word kama. So if you're wondering where I know the meaning of it from, I have it by tradition. Normally Rashi tries to figure it out based on context. But the Rebbe Yeshua of Belz said a beautiful teaching on this Rashi. In source number 4, Rav Moshe Ries quotes in his Sefer Pa'amei Moed, from Rav Yehoshua of Belz, and he says, it says in Tehillim, Tzama lecha nafshi, kama lecha besari, in Rashi, it's kama lashon taiva ve'ein lo dimyon. Heyer harav mi Belz, Rav Yehoshua of Belz pointed out, ki b'chol makom shebo Rashi, rotze lomar shebitoi zeho yachid b'mikra. Every time Rashi wants to point out that this is a unique word that's found in the mikra, that you can't compare it to anything else, and you can't really know the meaning of it. Hu kosev, he writes, ein lo dimyon b'mikra. There is no similar word in Tanakh, b'mikra, in verses. V'ilukan Rashi rak meir, but here Rashi just amends the comment, ve'ein lo dimyon, mi bli lahazkir b'mikra. He writes, and there is no comparison without writing the word b'mikra. Achin pshat hadvarim, but Rabbi Yehoshua of Belz explained, the Rabbi Yehoshua explained, kach amar shalakimiyazu, this type of yearning, ein dimyon b'shum makom b'tevel. It's not just that there's no other word in Tanakh that mirrors this. But ein dimyon klal, there is no comparison. That pain of a Jew being unable to express the yearning that he has for Hashem. Ein lo dimyon klal, there's no words you could try to couch it in terms of a certain way of looking at it or compare it to the yearning that you have for ice cream or... There's nothing in the world which compares to that type of yearning. So Rashi leaves out the word mikra and says, Lashon taiva, it's a lashon of yearning, ve'ein lo dimyon, there is no dimyon. Forget about it in mikra, there's no dimyon in the world. There's no dimyon in life. Nothing in the world compares to that yearning and that pain of the inability of a Jew to express the yearning for Hashem. That's encapsulated in the words of Tzama lecha nafshi, kama lecha besari. So why is Shir HaShirim called Shir HaShirim? So in the very first pasuk to Shir HaShirim, Rashi says, why is it called Shir HaShirim? the song of songs. It's the song of all songs. Rashi quotes in the second to last source on the first page, Amar Rav Eliezer ben Azaria. Rav Eliezer ben Azaria taught, L'maha davar domeh, why is it called Shir HaShirim? What is this compared to? L'melech shenatal sa'a chitin. To a king who took a sa'a of wheat, V'nasna l'nachtom, and he gave it to a baker. With a saw of wheat, you can make many loaves. Amar lo, hotzi likach v'kach soles v'kach v'kach subin v'kach v'kach morsan v'salis li mitocha glustika achas menufa u'ma'ula. The king said, take a saw of wheat, and I want you to refine it and refine it and refine it and refine it and refine it until you can make for me one loaf of bread, which is more exalted than all the others. Shir HaShirim, a song of songs. To take all of the books of Tanakh and to sift them and to sift them and to sift them and to sift them. Until you get one glustakana, until you get one loaf of bread, which takes all of life's vicissitudes and boils it down into one perfect expression of the soul's yearning and longing for Hashem. Kach kol aksuvim kodesh v'shir ashirim kodesh k'dashim. And the Meiri writes that compared to all the other books of Tanakh, all the other books are merely madrega mavo v'shir. They're merely like when the king is coming in and you have the trumpets blow, is like a, they're a mavo, they're a song which you sing, what's it called? The warm-up band. What's it called? The opening act. They're the opening act, they're the sideshow for this remarkable book, Shir HaShirim. V'hu tachlis acharon v'sof ha-shlemus ha-anoshi. Shir HaShirim, which is the Tachlis acharon v'sof ha-shlemus ha-anoshi. It is the completion and perfection of man. Al derech shakol hasa, in the same way that entire sa' of flour, lo nimser l'nachtom, it was only given to the baker in the first place to bring out that one glustika, so to all of existence, or in the words of Rabbi Akiva, the whole world, and no day was kedai, like the day that Shir HaShirim was given. The whole world is merely an excuse to bring about our coming to this nigun, this zemer of Shir HaShirim. So friends, when I got married, the day of my wedding, so I started a custom. I didn't know I was starting a custom, but after that I told several friends and they did the same. The day that I got married, I carried with me a chelik of the Rambam as I was walking from the chasen stish down to my kala, who was sitting awaiting for that moment of gvura, of pulling down a separation before one enters into marriage, to make a separation. According to the Mikubalim, the bedekin is supposed to be done with the left hand because it's an act of pulling back before proceeding forward. And in my hand I carried a copy of the Rambam, the first chelik of the Rambam, with a little sticky note. And the Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva, Perek 10. And I had big plans, as I would approach my wife, to read for her the third halacha in the Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva. The only problem is that when I got down there, all I was left with was a Munkacher passport and a blank letter from the Rebbe of Vorka, and I couldn't open my mouth and say anything. But what I wanted to say, what I intended to say, was the following. V'keitzar hiya ava haru'u yahu sheyav zashem. What is the proper love that a person has to love Hashem with? Ahava gedola yaseira azma od. A love which is great and exalted and strong. Achete nafsho kshuro ba'avas Hashem, to the point that a person's soul is bound in love to God. V'nimtza shoga batamid ki'ilu chole chol ya'ava. To the point that a person is madly shoga, means like insane, like a shigaon. A person goes insane with a constant state of sickness with being lovesick. She'ein daito pinuya me'avas oso isha, like a person whose mind cannot stop thinking for a moment about a certain woman. V'hu shoga batamid, constantly thinking about her. Bein b'shivto bein b'kuma, whether he's lying down or he's standing up. Bein b'shashu ochel v'shosa, whether he's eating and drinking. V'chulu. Yoser mizesh tehe avas Hashem believe o avav shogim batamir. More so than that, and based on that, is a person supposed to be thinking all the time about Hashem. Kemo shetzivanu v'chol avavcha v'chol nafshcha. As the Pasuk commands us that we should love Hashem b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshcha v'hu she'Shlomo amar derech mashal, and this is what Shlomo HaMelech taught us derech mashal. Ki cholas ava ani, I'm sick with love for you. The kol shir ashirim mashal hu le'inyan zeh, all of shir ashirim is a mashal for this. All of shir ashirim is a mashal for this. That which becomes impossible for the heart to say, that ein lo dimyon klal, there's not a single thing in the world that can compare, somehow, in that mystery of Shir Shirim, Shlomo HaMelech was able to encapsulate what it means to be madly in love with Hashem. A story from the Baal Shem Tov, that one time, the Baal Shem Tov came to a certain town, and there was a doctor in that town. And the doctor heard that the Baal Shem Tov was a healer, and he came to the Baal Shem Tov and he said, I'd like to see if you can, I heard that you're a healer. I want to see if you can analyze my health. And the doctor knew that he had a certain illness that wasn't apparent on the outside, and he wanted to see if the Baal Shem Tov could feel it. And the Baal Shem Tov came to the doctor, and he held the doctor's hand, and he put his finger on the doctor's pulse, and he said, it appears to me that you're sick with X, Y, and Z disease. And what you should do to cure it is you should take X, Y, and Z medicine. And that's my suggestion to you. The doctor was blown away. And the doctor said, if you don't mind, I'd like to now check your pulse. And the doctor put his hand on the Baal Shem Tov's pulse. And after about 3 seconds, the doctor recoiled like he was touching like a boiling hot pot of oil. And he said, I don't understand how you're alive. And the Baal Shem Tov said, yeah, he said, I'm very ill. I fast a lot, and you know, I'm very, very ill. I have a very great sickness. And the doctor soon after left the Baal Shem Tov, and the Baal Shem Tov turned to his students and he said, that doctor could never know this type of sickness, because only a Jew can feel the sickness of a person who is cholas ava. The Baal Shem Tov turned to his students and he said, cholas ava ani. I'm sick with love for Hashem. That's what the doctor felt. That sickness that he felt, I'm not fasting because I'm trying to be holy, I'm fasting because I'm so sick with love for Hashem that I always forget to eat. And that feeling of the Rambam, as he explains what Shlomo HaMelech meant, as Rasavichik explained to us in the beginning, when a Jew begins to enter into the world of Shabbos, they enter into this state of kilyon hanefesh, of just wanting to melt away into Hashem. Back on the first side of the sheet, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains the pasuk, Vayechulu Hashemayim Va'aretz V'chol Tzvavam, a Jew enters into Shabbos. Vayechulu Hashemayim, Hashem completes the whole world. Vayechalu Elokim Bayom Hashvim Lachto Asher Asa, Vayishvos Bayom Hashvim Kum Lachto Asher Asa, Vayirech Elokim Esom Hashvim Vayikadeshu So, Hashem creates the world. He culminates it with Shabbos. Vayechulu Hashemayim Va'aretz. But the Or HaChaim explained that the word Vayechulu comes from a lashon of kilyon, of desire, of yearning. That Shabbos, with Shabbos comes a certain desire, a certain melting away with yearning for Hashem. The Or HaChaim writes, Yesh l'chaladas she'ein shuka ba'olam. There is no desire in the world. Areva v'chaviva v'nechmada v'neheves v'nesaves u'mekaves. There is no desire in the world which is sweeter and more beloved and more desirous l'nivrayim to the creations of the world, b'frat l'chelke haruchani, and specifically to those spiritual people, hamakir v'yodeya b'chinas or helokos, who recognize the light of the divine, kadvekus b'oro yisbarach, like the clinging of a Jew to his creator, ve'ilav yichsefu kol nefesh chiyunis hamagas lahakir k'tzas minoam oro yisbarach teitzei nafshom lachzoz b'nom Hashem. Kama l'chol b'sari, a person enters into Shabbos and vayichulu hashamayim v'haaretz. Everything melts away with this searching for Hashem. And on Shabbos, when a Jew enters into that state, so what does he have except for Shir HaShirim? There's an amazing sefer on the third sheet over here that was written by Rav Gershtin Korin. Rav Gershtin Korin was the first mayor of Bnei Brak. He was the founding mayor of Bnei Brak. And he wrote, you know, the mayor of Bnei Brak, he wasn't just a political leader, he was a big Talmud Chacham. And he wrote a sefer called Ahava B'Ta'anugim. Collections, six or so volumes, maybe five, of Perushim on Shir HaShirim. Ahava B'Ta'anugim. And in the Hakdama, or in the Haskamot, excuse me, to the sefer Ahava B'Ta'anugim, Rav Unterman was the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv at the time, wrote a Haskama, and in that Haskama, before writing how beautiful and how amazing the Sefer of Gershtin Korin was, how beautiful the Sefer was, he wrote an explanation of the words that troubled us from the beginning of Rabbi Akiva. That Rabbi Akiva said that all of Tanakh is Kodesh, but Shir HaShirim is Mamish Kodesh Kadashim. What does that mean? So just to highlight the question a little stronger than we had in the beginning. Rav Unterman writes, Yadua ki bekarbonos shebamikdash hayu shnei sugim. We know that when it comes to the karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash, there are two types. There's called something called kodshim, as kodshim kalim, kodshim as light kodesh, and there's kodshim as kodshim kadoshim. V'dineim shonim zem yizem. When it comes to the karbanos, so they have different dinim. The way that we approach these different types of karbanos is completely different. Masechtos written on how we approach kodshim kalim and kodshim kadoshim. Afalo bar lanu mahu ahevdel bin kodesh to kodesh kadoshim b'shira. Okay, I understand the karbanos that you could have such a thing as kodshim kalim and kodshim kadoshim. But how do you have such a thing when it comes to songs? Ukmokein kosh, and a second question, Lahavin Gamzos. Shechachmenu manu eser shiros kedoshes shenemru olam dechachamim. Talk about 10 different songs in Tanakh. Uvnehem hashir shomer Moshe b'nei Yisrael al Yamsuf. The shir that we mentioned that we spoke about last week. Az yashir. Hazinu v'od v'od. V'kulam hayu kodesh v'shir hashirim shal shlomo melech kodesh kedoshim. Nal al kulan. Is it possible? Can we believe such a thing that the shiros of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah are less than the shiros of Shlomo Melech? Ubr Yoser Yifla Hadavar Leor Divrei Chazal. When Chazal explained in the Medrash Ha'omrim Ki Masha Kasev Nachon Kisacha Me'az, that even Me'az from Az Yashir, Shekise Kvodo Hatochne Meshiras Yisrael, that the Kise HaKavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was held up by Az Yashir. Can Shir HaShirim really hold a candle to that? Skip down. But I want to explain it in a new way, says Rav Unterman. Rav Unterman explained, that when it comes to Kodshim Kalim, Yesh Gam Chelek HaShayach LeBalim, V'him Ochlem HaBasar. One of the deciding factors, one of the clear simonim of Kodshim Kalim is that Kodshim Kalim are not only burnt completely on the Mizbeach, but they're eaten by the Baalim as well. They're eaten by the owner of the Karban. Ilu b'kodshim kedoshim, but when it comes to the most sacred karbanos, ein lebaleim chelek klal. It's completely burnt, it only goes to Hashem. Listen to this. Ken yesh musag dome lezeh gam b'divrei shiro shenemar b'ruach ha-kodesh. Yesh nan shiros sha'af shehenan maleos rayonos amukim v'genuzim behem sodos ramazim. Even though it's true that most of the time when we read in Tanakh a particular story, it's filled with drushos and ramazim and sodos, secrets, mystical and otherwise. Ubecholzos gam etzem apshat emes lamito. But the simple interpretation of that particular work is also true. There's a historical reality that Avram Avinu sat at the entrance of his tent in Parshas Vayera. But there's also deep, deep, deep mystical things going on, and it's not just talking about Avram Avinu, it's talking about all of us sitting at a tent. Many different ways of understanding that pasuk. But the pshat remains the pshat. Hinei lamashal b'shir sayam gonzim otzer sayon chachmas nistaros v'sodos. There's crazy things going on b'shir sayam. Aval gam pshat apashidu emes meduyuk. The simple interpretation of the shir is also true. Mer kavos paro v'chilu yarav vayam. The chariots of Paro were drowned in the sea. It's also true that there are mystical things hidden in that pasuk. But it's also true that the chariots drowned in the sea. And if a person says, Chas v'shalom, that he only believes in the rayonos or the sodos of the shir, but he doesn't believe in the pshat of the dvarim, that Hashem actually did kriyas yam sof, Chas v'shalom, is a kofer. Skip down. Baram yotze me'aklal hu shir ashirim asher l'shlomo. But when it comes to shir ashirim, when we say that Shir Shirim is Kodesh Kedashim, it doesn't mean that Shir Shirim is greater. It doesn't mean that it's more holy. What does it mean? The Yesod is that Hakol Hu Rayon Vesod Drash Viremez Atuf Bemata Shal Sipur Ahuvim Ben Dod Na'aleu Ben Raya Ahuva. The simple pshat of the pasuk, which sounds like a story about a lover and her beloved, Asher kol echad mishtafef b'shira adira v'niskav al ha-yofi v'al ha-shlema shehu motzi b'tzad ha-sheni. That each one is saying about how beautiful the other one is. So listen carefully, here's the pshat. I'll say outside now, because we're going to run out of time. Rav Unterman says that, what does it mean, kodshim kedoshim? All the other books are kodshim kalim, because like kodshim kalim, there's a tzad which is for Hashem, there's these sodos, and Ramazim and Drashas that are going on, but there's also this tzad to the Bailim. In other words, the work itself stands on its own as the Pshat. But Shir Shirim is Kodshim Kalim because it doesn't even exist in the realm of Pshat. The whole story doesn't exist in the realm of Pshat. It's only the Sod. It's only the Drash that exists. And so now we come back to our problem, which is, how does a Jew express the yearning, the longing, that painful yearning that David HaMelech, that Yeshua of Belz explained to us? How do we express that yearning in our lives? So when a Jew comes to Shabbos, Vayechulu Hashemayim Va'aretz V'chol Tzva'am, and the world is yearning and melting with a desire to come to Hashem, there's only one zemer. There's only one song, which we need to spend a few weeks trying to understand. There's only one song that a Jew can possibly sing to bring about the unification of what he feels in his heart and what he wants to express in his mouth, as we've been explaining the past few weeks. That when all the borders fall away and the seven, the Zion in the middle, that pnimius of the Jew inside starts to spill out, it's only through Shir HaShirim that a Jew can come to that place. And so we'll end with a teaching from Rav Avram Shor in the Sefer Halakach Valibov on the Haggadah Shal Pesach. Mavur b'chovus halavavus sha'peh u'kolmus halev. The chovus halavavus says that the heart, excuse me, that the mouth is the quill of the heart. The mouth is there to express the heart. Meaning that that's the way that it should be. But as we just spent the past half hour to 40 minutes explaining, it's not always like that. Sometimes it's impossible. A Jew's heart has to be connected to his mouth. And when we explained in Mitzrayim the Dibur was in Galus, we were unable to speak. Hakavana shahaya echad bepev echad belev. Shaleva apelo hayu meluchadim. The heart and the mouth were not aligned. As it says in the Svarim HaKadoshim, perhaps he's alluding here to the Nefesh HaChaim, others say it as well, that where does the Yetzer Hara hang out? That Paro is the osios of Ha'orif, which means the neck. That which stands between the mouth and the heart. Paro, the hard neck of Paro, which doesn't allow the mouth and the heart to connect properly. Whereas the Baal HaTanya said that the greatest distance in the world is between the mind of a Jew and his heart. Or in our case, the mouth of a Jew and his heart. That he just wants so deeply to express the yearning of his heart in his mouth, but he can't. That Paro, Ha'oref, is the ability to stand between the mouth and the heart. Tikkun hagolos hu shapev alev yumilchadim. And what's the tikkun of all golos? How does one leave the meitzarim of the 6 days of the week and come to Shabbos? It's only with the book called Shir Hashirim. Shir Hashirim hu shir shel golos geulas Mitzrayim. It's the shir of the redemption from Mitzrayim. Vadvekos sheniya achar kach bein bnei Yisrael avim shabashamayim, as we just spent the past hour explaining. Vuashira shenevi lidei giloi hergish belev. It's that Shira, which allows the kamus halev, that melting of the heart, the yearning that Rav Yeshua of Belz explained, ein lo dimyon, not b'mikra, but klal in the whole world. As we explained last week, it's all coming together now, that Rashi explained that Moshe Rabbeinu sang a certain shira, ki ala b'libo shiyasher, came into his heart to sing. That's all that shira is. The zemiros of Shabbos are just the heart being expressed in the mouth properly, like the way that we can't do it during the 6 days of the week. Shir Hashirim actually succeeds at putting in our mouths that which we feel in our heart. Because there's no pshat. It's only the soda, as Rav Unterman explained. It's the unification of the heart and the mouth together. Therefore, there's 117 psukim in Shir Hashirim. Begumashir HaPeh Lev. Because the heart and the mouth come together in Shir Hashirim. Because sam lecha nafshi, kam lecha besari, because the heart's desire to express itself properly and the pain that we feel during the 6 days of the week to not be able to do that finds its catharsis in the moment that a Jew sits after the mikvah on Erev Shabbos with a Shir Hashirim and reads the book that has no pshat. There's no option that it should be echad b'leiv v'echad b'peh, because there's no pshat in Shir Hashirim. There's only remez, drash, and sod. So as we begin to try to endeavor, this is just the introduction to Shir Hashirim, but we'll have maybe one, I don't know how many, one or two more. As we begin to endeavor to try to understand this Sefer and the first of the Zmiros of Shabbos, Hashem should help us that by trying to study Shir Hashirim during the week, we should be able to be Mekabel Shabbos a little bit early, as we're still coming down from the past Shabbos, like we learned last week from the Shem Yishmuel. The Zion with the three Tagin that's shining outward in both directions, backwards and forwards. So Hashem should help us. Like it says in last week's Parsha, that Avram is called Avram Ohavi, my beloved. That we should be zocha to know that when we say Maisa Avosim Labanim, and we're reading the story of Avram Avinu every single day, and we're studying Shir Hashirim here right now, we should know and we should feel deeply in our hearts that the love that Hashem has for Avram is the love that Hashem has for us, is the love that a husband has for his wife, is the love of Shir Hashirim. And in that merit will be zocha to see the Binyan Beis HaMikdash again with the Kodesh Kedoshim, which is called in Tanakh the Cheder HaMitos, the bedroom. That place where the Jewish people unite with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with a unity unparalleled, Echad B'Peh V'Echad B'Lev, no more, but pen leave uniting ביום ההוא יהיה השם אחר ושמו אחד.